Children's Church this morning with Miss Merm. Woohoo! Hey, if you're stuck here with me, turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 15 and verse 16 today. Verse 15 and 16. So last week, what we were talking about, we talked about a theme that was found in verse 12, 13, and 14. That talked about pressing on. It talked about moving in a certain direction. Remember, we talked about moving forward, and then it said to move upward for the upward call of Christ Jesus. So, golly. All right. So, I took it apart and put it back together. I took it apart and put it back together, though. See?
Damn. You put it back.
All right. Did that do it? Is everybody good? All right. Let's give Ron a hand. So, when we talk about moving in a direction, I got something. It's just called a little gyroscope. You can, you know, get this yourself, or if later on if you want it, you can have this one. So if we get our lives spinning in a direction, just like Paul told us, we press on and we start moving forward in our lives. And so we get a direction and we start moving in that direction. The problem comes when everything else starts moving. All right, the pieces in our lives start moving in all other types of direction, and it's hard for us to stay focused on what God has called us to. So he called us to what? A forward direction and in an upward way. We talked about this last week. Pressing on, moving forward, moving upward towards the calling which God has called us to. Our trouble comes is when we start to take the steps and we move that direction, then everything else gets out of whack. Have you ever flown in a plane before? All right. A plane has this little thing right here in it. It's called an altimeter. All right. It's called something that helps you keep the plane so that you can follow direction while the plane is moving in the course that it's supposed to go. Now, we don't see all of this, and this is what allows planes and pilots to fly during bad weather and storms and clouds and things when we can't see the horizon, see what lies ahead for us. And so we function in this every single solitary day. We function in a way that we need to know that things are going on all around us, and we're trying to move in a direction, and God has our back through all of this. And so Paul today in these two verses gives us a spiritual altimeter so that you and I might be able to hang in there when we're moving in this direction that God has called us to, when everything else seems to be spinning in its own world and spinning in the way that it wants to. And it seems to contradict sometimes and even cause us confusion. Have you ever thought, I don't even know if I'm heading in the right direction? After you've stepped out and done what you feel like God has called you to do, and so you took that step forward, and it seemed like as soon as you did, everything else started spinning in all these different ways. And now you start to doubt, or you start to think about what you were doing and wonder if you're even going. How about this one? We got hunters in here, right? Have you ever gotten lost in the woods? Come on, you fess up. Have you ever been lost in the woods? You get in there, right? You think you know where you're going. Next thing you know, you're turned around. And you don't know the direction that you're going. The place where you thought you were going to come out of the woods, you're deeper in, or you're off course. And so today, what I want us to do is I want us to think in those aspects and those terms when we look at these two verses. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. All right? Now look, I want to stop right here for a second. How many of you in here are perfect? Just Ron, because he fixed my mic. All right? All right? Anybody else in here besides Ron that's perfect? Nobody's perfect, right? So why in the world is Paul talking about this? Paul's talking about this because when God tells us to move forward and to press on and to move upward to the upward call in which he's called us, that is the direction that God wants us to go. That's the perfect way. That's the zenith. Okay, the zenith for our life is to know the path that God has laid out for us and to move that. And if you look at it as far as stars and in the sky, there's the north what? The North Star, And that's what we look at to what be able to keep our focus and to keep ourselves right directionally so that we can know that even as the heavens and everything else turns and spins, even as the earth spins on its axis, and even as we are traveling around the sun, so everything up there changes. If you look directionally and try to find stuff, all the sky is constantly moving. But there's one central point that you can go to. And that's that zenith. That's that northern point for us, a place where we can look up, move forward, and ascend towards so that we know that we can keep ourselves directionally headed in the right way that God wants us to. And I'm going to use an example. I'm going to use an example today. The example is Peter. And so let's look at Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and then verses 15 and 17. Jesus is asking his disciples who the world thinks he is. And some say he's a great prophet. Some give him, you know, different answers like Moses or, you know, Elijah. This is who you are. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father is in who is in heaven." Now, remember this. He's not started being called Peter yet. So he goes by Simon Barjona, which is his given name. So Peter comes up with this answer, which is the right answer. You are Jesus Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns to him and says, "You got it right, Peter, but you didn't get it right in and of yourself. You got it right because what? Because God laid that on your heart and he told you that which was right. And you answered in the present and in the spirit of God himself." All right. He gave that answer back to him. And see, this is that picture right here. Peter's got it right. If we just lived our life knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the living Savior who came to redeem us all from our sins, and we kept our focus totally on that every single day, every single moment of our life, do you think we'd get in a lot of trouble? We wouldn't. But the problem is that we take our eye off of that. And when we take our eye off of that, it's just like Peter getting out of the boat. You start looking at the sea and the waves and everything all around us, and we begin to sink. And in just a few minutes, we're just going to see what Peter did. Just a few moments in a conversation where Jesus begins to tell him what's going to take place and what's going to happen. Then Peter totally gets off sync here. But the second thing I want you to see is this. So not only is there this point, this place where even when we start spinning in the direction that God has called us to, that if we keep our focus on, even though everything else is moving all around us in all different directions, we will be able to keep the path that God has called us to. Therefore, let us, as many as perfect, have this attitude. And if anything in you has a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. The second thing I want you to see is orientation adjustment. So when you're flying in a plane, you have pitch and bank, all right? I know I'm talking a lot of flight stuff here this morning. But when you want to turn in a plane, what do? You turn the wheel or whatever, and it starts going. Well, how do you know that if you're going down or if you're flying up at an angle? How do you know if you're actually going left or going right? Are you going up, going left? Or are you going down, going left? Well, Lord knows we don't want to go down, going left, do we? So we want to be able to see that directionally we're headed in the place that we want to. So there's a bank when we turn, and then there's pitch, so that we can see when mountains are coming and things like, how are we going to fly if we can't see what's ahead of us and there's a mountain range headed up? How are we going to know to go over that or to go around that? That's where I'm talking about. He says if there's anything in our life that keeps us from the attitude of that which is perfect in the direction that we're supposed to do, then we're supposed to adjust our attitude. So as we make these attitude adjustments, then that's when we move back to the course in which God has called us to. There are obstacles that are placed in every single one of our lives. As soon as we decide to move forward with what God has called us to, you can guarantee that our adversary, our enemy, is going to put obstacles in our path. And sometimes they are things that we think are for our good, but in actuality, they are meant to lead us off course. because sometimes the adjustment is to settle for something that is good when we should be shooting for what is best, and that's what God has called us to. Have any of you ever settled in your life and said, oh, I can't do that, but I can do this, so I'm just going to do this, and that'll be good enough for God. I can't give what God says for me to give, but I'll just give this. And I'm not just talking money, I'm talking time. I'm talking the use of our talents. I'm talking anything that we have that we should be giving to God. If we make an adjustment in our life and say that we're going to do less than that, then we are compromising and we are settling. So for us to get back on course means that we need to adjust our attitude. So Peter was having this conversation with Jesus Christ. He got the right answer. And then Jesus begins to tell them what's going on. Let's read the rest of the passage here in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, that this shall ever happen to you. But he turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Now, why was this? Peter thought he knew where God was sending him, in a direction. He got the right answer. But the reality was, is he was looking at this from a human aspect. He wanted Jesus to be king. King of the Jews. Why did he want him to be king of the Jews? Because then the disciples would all be right around him and they would have power and authority. They saw all of this that was being imposed on them by all the religious leaders of their day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the Sanhedrin. All those people who dictated religiously what they were and who they were and how they were supposed to live. Jesus was going to abolish all that up, set up an earthly kingdom, and then they were going to be there to help him run that. That sounds so much like people getting involved in church life so many times. Whether that be a pastor that's gone into a ministry or whether that be someone who's called out, we think that when we step out that it's all going to be sunshine and roses and that everything God is going to do in our life is going to be great. That's not the way it works. Adversity comes in our lives so that we can build up, one, a tolerance and a perseverance and an endurance of our faith. If our life was never tested, the purity of our life would always remain the same. So our life must go through difficulties. We must deal with stress. We must deal with adversity. We must deal with adjustments that we have to make in our life so that we can see how God is moving to keep us on the course in which he's laid out for us. And as he does this, if we are aware of this, then we give him praise and honor and glory for everything that he has done and is doing in our life. This is the adjustment that we're talking about. Peter thinks because he's got the right answer, hey, I've won the lottery. It's all good from here. Have you ever thought, now I know none of you have ever done this, if I just had this much money, I could live for the rest of my life. And I wouldn't bother anybody else, and it would all be good, and I could just hang out my sheet for the rest of my days, and then I could do what I want to do, be who I want to be, and God, I would give you some of it. This is the way we respond. Now look, what if God said to us, I'm going to give you that amount of money, but instead of getting it instantly, it's going to cost you 40 years worth of work life at this place. And through those 40 years, you're going to have to serve me doing this or doing that. And you're going to go through these struggles. And you may actually go through loss to receive some of that money because it might be in an inheritance. So a life or a person that you loved may not may be taken away from. If you knew all that stuff right then and there, some of us would sit back and go, okay, I don't want the money. I'd rather have the relationship. I'd rather have the life. I'd rather have all these things. We want this stuff, but we don't want what comes with it. Peter had to learn this. Peter wanted to be Jesus' right-hand man in the kingdom, the earthly kingdom that God was going to set up, right? Well, he wasn't setting up an earthly kingdom. He was setting up a heavenly kingdom. Peter missed the whole shebang on this. ends up going through all this deal where he denies Jesus three times. He's nowhere around. And Christ's moment where he's describing all this about going to the cross and being crucified, Peter's nowhere to be found. He's hiding because he thinks they're going to put him in jail. So he denies him three times to avoid going to all this. Then Jesus dies, is resurrected, and then these guys are out, what? Fishing. Gone back to the life that they had before. And Jesus comes to them while they're in the boat, and what does he do? Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. And then he remembers these words. Upon this rock, upon what you do, I'm going to help to establish the kingdom on the rock of Jesus Christ. Who does God use to speak to people to start the church in the book of Acts? It's Peter. All these people come. He sees all this ministry and all these opportunities. And as he begins to continue to move forward that way, is it all good for him? No. He ends up in prison himself. The thing he was barely trying to avoid. He goes through all of this stuff. Ends up dying a martyr's death. So that he can accomplish what God tells him right now through Jesus Christ is what he was going to do. You see, directionally, God has a plan for us. All this stuff is going around. The world's spinning each and every day. And sometimes it even gets turned upside down. And we don't understand it. And we think God has left us. But he has not. He's still got a plan. We still need to head in the direction to which he's called us to, doing the things in which he's gifted us to be able to do. And we need to constantly be adjusting our attitude. Because guess what? It's our attitude that determines our altitude. So if the North Star is up there, and that's our pivot point, that's the one place up there where we can see so that we can keep our compass and keep our life directionally on course, we should all be aspiring to get as close to that as we possibly can. That's what he's called us to, a forward call and an upward call. That's what Paul has just said to us in this passage. So now, as we keep our eyes on that, we are ascending, continuing to ascend closer and closer. As we walk, we're getting closer and closer to being home. Closer and closer to heaven, to laying down all of these things which we have aspired our whole life for, leaving them behind so that we can receive what God has promised to us. All we have to do is keep our eye on the prize. So as we take it off, as we get diverted, we need to look back up, find it, and then adjust our course back to it. And when we adjust our course back to it, that puts us in the right place. There's none of us who are perfect. This passage is not saying that you and I are going to be perfect. It says that this is an attitude that we have. So we know that it's up there. We know that there's a right way. We know that there's a right answer for everything that's going on in our lives today and in our world today. We just need to look up. Look up and see that. And then make the adjustment in our life and in our attitude. God will reveal this to you also. And then he says this, the last part. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. The last thing is just to maintain our course, our flight plan. So many times we quit. Sunday after Sunday, people come to church and it's the last time they come to church. They just walk away. They just lay it down. They just stop trying to be the person that God has called them to be. One, it's too difficult. It's too hard. Or two, they feel alone. Three, they might feel disconnected from the Lord because they're not in continual prayer or in continual contact or connection with him. But to lay that all aside is to leave that. And then we just kind of get stuck over here. and we're no longer ascending, we're just kind of hanging out. And when we're hanging out, we're not being fully devoted as a follower of Christ. So we need to re-engage. We need to get back on course and maintain that as God leads and guides. Look, have you ever wanted to go somewhere and you wanted to get there quickly? When you're on vacation, does it seem like it takes forever for you to drive to the beach? Because you're wanting to get to the beach. Because at the beach, you're like, I'm on vacation. I get the sea, the water, the fun, the sun. I get everything. I get to eat out. I'm spending money. It's all good. We saved up for it. Everything's good. So getting to vacation seems to take forever. But when we're coming back home, it seems like we're there sometimes in an instant, right? It's over. We look back and we're like, I spent that whole week. All my money's gone. And now I got to go back and get back into that. I got to go back to work so I can save up so I can do it again. But that's maintaining the course. That's staying on the course of which God wants us to stay on. He's put you in that job. He's placed you there so that you can be a light in that place, ministering and reaching out and doing what God wants you to. If he's called you there and you're there, then he's placed you there. And vacations are great. I love to take them. But the course that we need to maintain is getting back to what he has called us to do. And so that's the reality for us. That's what God wants for us. And that altitude and that direction that we maintain keeps us functionally doing what God has called us to as an individual and as a body of Christ. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The law was given in the Old Testament not to save anybody. The law doesn't save anyone. Thou shalt not murder. Okay, how does that save me? Does that mean that I'm saved if I don't murder someone? No. It just says that I shouldn't murder someone. But if I do murder someone, or if I do lie, then I have broken the law. So I have gotten myself out of bounds. And as I get myself out of bounds, I become unrestrained. Once I'm out of bounds, I'm like, woohoo, I'm out of bounds. I'm free. I can go do whatever I want to do. See, we have to keep our vision. Where there is no vision, where we're not looking at what we should be looking at, focusing on that which we should be focusing on, we lose sight of the prize. And when we lose sight of the prize, we begin to wander off course. As we wander off course, our life becomes unrestrained. One problem begets another problem. And then it all snowballs for us. So maintain the course. It also says in 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Keep yourself in bounds. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Effort. That's why it says to be diligent about these things, to be dedicated, to be devoted. So we just don't wander around aimlessly. We're not perfect. He told us last week, we haven't gotten there yet. You've not received what's coming your way. You are to remain devoted. You are to remain diligent to the path in which God has put you on until he is finished with you. And if there is a change in course in your life, he's going to show you that. He's going to lead you that way. He is going to direct you that way. And then as you follow, you will continue to see that he is moving in your life to bring you to the place in which he has called you to be. Amen. And as we do this, There is things that come back our way. See, we think that it's all work and no play, but it isn't. There are fruits that come to our spirit. Where are those fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience. Let's stay there for a little while. Patience. Self-control. You see, we gain all of these things as we follow that direction. Now, I want you to go back to the story of Peter right quick. Now, think about Peter right here. Peter is reckless, man. He is all about Jesus, but he's all about Jesus how he wants Jesus to be. He's all about his life, about how he wants his life to be. But as God begins to mold and shape him, as he breaks him down, because he denies the Lord, he runs away. He's the leader, and he's hiding. He rebuilds him back and then uses him mightily. Jesus comes up to him and says, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. Remember when he says this, sift you like wheat? Does anybody know what that is? They put the wheat in this sieve, and they begin to shake it. And as they shake it, what happens is all the chaff, all the head of the wheat will stay on top, but the seed will fall through because the holes are just big enough for that. So all the wheat, as it shook, falls down to the ground, and all this junk is left in that, and then they take that and they toss it. So when he is shaking up his life, he's actually shaking out the good stuff. And then all the bad stuff is there, and then it's chunked away. Peter doesn't get that. We don't get that. He wants to shake up my life. No, thank you. I don't want any of that. We think that because our life is shook up, that it's tumbling in all directions, that it's out of control. It's not out of control. If it belongs to God, it is totally in control. We just need to look up, see that there is a point for us to get to, and then head that direction. Amen. And leave the rest up to him. Amen. Don't look off here. Don't look off there. Don't start on our own path, trying to correct on our own. Just allow him to keep us upright during the midst of all this topsy-turvy world, and move. Keeping the attitude perfect, not because we're perfect, but because Christ is perfect. Because that which we receive is glory. That which we receive is not this. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you so much this day for your word. I thank you for how you shape us, mold us. Father, how when this world is spinning in all different directions, and sometimes, Father, it's hard for us to keep ourselves focused on that which is forward and that which is upward. You tell us in your scripture, just keep our attitude right. Just stay on that point which is set before us, which you have called us to. And as we do that, all this stuff that's moving in and around our lives, it'll take care of itself. Whether it be something that you've put in our lives to allow us to be able to grow stronger and so that our walk might be firmer, or, Lord, whether it's just distractions and distortions, you will flesh that out, Lord, in our lives. Just help us to be able to see and to hear. And Father, to know that you are there for us, caring for us, walking with us, and holding us up as we move to be the people in which you've called us to be. And we move to be fully devoted followers of Christ in a body that is seeking to reach a lost world. Father, it's these things we ask, these things that we aspire to and attain to. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We're going to go into a time of decision. I don't know where everybody is in this place spiritually. There's a lot of you who've been involved in church.